Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, in this country, we're only too familiar with the problems that can occur when somebody draws a new line on the map between two nations. But ours is far from the only complicated border in Europe. Lewis Baston has walked many of them for his book, Border Lines, A History of Europe and 29 Borders. And he joins us now. Lewis, how are you today?
Not bad at all, Tom. Thanks very much. All is well with you.
You must have worn out many pairs of shoes for this, Lewis.
Yes, indeed. I've walked from, not all in the same walk, of course, but yes, it covers from the Irish border to the borders of Ukraine. So quite a bit of Europe there, quite a lot of walking in the hills and forests of sparsely populated and mysterious parts of our continent.
It sounds great. What possessed you to do this?
I guess part of it was I've always been interested in borders ever since I was a kid. The first time I crossed a land border in Europe was 1984 on a bus from France to Germany. And it was weird just feeling, okay, we're in kind of a different world here. It's like going through the wardrobe in Narnia. And the more immediate inspiration was the politics of 2016. A lot of talk about Brexit and Trump and how borders were supposed to be a really good thing and strong borders. But I wanted to look at what borders are actually like.
And you came to Ireland. And was it around 2016 you came to Ireland? Because with Brexit, the debate of us having a hard border was in everyone's mind at the time.
Absolutely. Ireland was the first place I went in this sort of quest to find the truth and the meaning behind borders. So I walked along a couple of stretches of the border. County Fermanagh and County Moynihan are my sort of I enjoyed and sort of appreciated most, but also around Derry and County Armagh. So yes, it was a lot of the discussion about Brexit in the UK had been on the basis of strong borders and so on, but there was seemed to be a complete lack of consideration about what would happen to the UK's land border.
Because that's the reality, isn't it? That people make decisions in parliaments very far from where borders are, and they're affecting life on these, as you're walking, life on these laneways, really, that you're walking down.
Absolutely. It's an incredible, I mean, what I learned from visiting the border was how incredibly connected it is, how intricate, how lots of the lines don't make any sense on the ground. And there are 200 crossings, possibly more, between Northern Ireland and Ireland. And there's only 137 in total on the entire eastern edge of the EU. You have this Wow. extraordinary web of connections across the border. And you have the situation where I think people on both sides of the border feel closer to each other than they do to the national authorities back in their distant capital somewhere. And I think that's true in Ireland, and it's true in a lot of places in mainland Europe as well. What struck me is how much in common borderlands had.
Some of the places you went to are absolutely fascinating. The Barla, is that would you describe that as one of the craziest borders you went to?
Barla is probably the craziest border of them all. Yeah. It's a town which is split between Belgium and the Netherlands, and it's not just divided by a neat straight line. It's essentially a crazy paving, a sort of mad chessboard of fragments of the Netherlands and Belgium all interspersed with each other. You see a row of white tiled crosses on, or painted crosses on the pavement, and that's the national border. There's a bar where you can still get served at the Belgian end after the Dutch end is shut. And there's full of this sort of madness, and it's very funny. The people there have got a great sense of humor about it, and they welcome visitors, and they enjoy sort of puzzling visitors with how odd their town is.
Right. Is that where the town hall is kind of split between different areas as well?
That's right. The town hall of the Belgian bit of Barla, the bit called Barla Hertog, actually has a corner of it in the Netherlands. And so when they take a vote on the town council, they have to make sure nobody's sitting on the Dutch side of the table, because the votes will be invalid. And the town hall's set on top of a police station. And it's a Belgian police station, but because the town is this sort of jurisdictional maze of fragments of territory, the policemen patrol in twos, one of them Dutch, one of them Belgian. So that if you're kind of a criminal, you can't sort of escape justice by running across the street and challenging them to extradite you.
Incredible. There must be ones where the sense of history is huge. And I imagine areas of Poland must top that list, do they?
Poland is Poland's borders have moved so much over time, and Poland was shunted radically westwards in 1945. There have been wars about its borders sort of back in 1918 when Poland was being reestablished. And so there's a lot of tragedy in borders. Tragedy and absurdity are the common factors in lots of borders. So in Western Poland, you have this sense that the ghosts of the previous German inhabitants are still, you can still feel their presence, architecture, and sometimes when the plasterwork sort of peels off, you can still see German lettering. And there are wayside shrines with prayers in German on them. And then in the east, you've got areas which were contested between Poland and Ukraine. And there you also have a situation where millions of people were forcibly moved across the border. The border was drawn to kind of be a straight line on the map, and the people were reshaped to be part of it. And the kind of tragic sense of that. And in Poland, often for a lot of people, their national history, local history, and family history are all kind of out of joint with each other.
It must feel very, disjointing for them to be in. How the people there would have any kind of sense of loyalty, or to whom?
Indeed, it's really interesting. I mean, there is quite a strong sense of national loyalty and collective Polish identity, which covers a lot of it. But if you think the history of your house probably kind of has this abrupt break in 1945, and before that, there were Germans living there, or to find where your ancestors were buried, you've got to go to Ukraine. And sort of some possibly depopulated village. Yeah. This is the other thing about border areas. You sometimes find places where there used to be a village, but because of the politics, because of the movement of people, it just doesn't exist anymore.
It must be very moving. You must have found parts of it very moving, did you?
Oh, terrifically, yeah. I mean, the graveyards did something for me, to be honest. These were places, like, you would go into a field and there would be mossy, overgrown graves of the people who were there before. And sometimes also, this happens quite a bit in Poland, that the local priest or the local community would actually rehabilitate the old graves. So, for instance, in a place called Krasiczyn in the east of Poland, there was a really dignified memorial at the old Jewish cemetery, which the parish priest there had overseen and dedicated. So as well as these sort of harsh tragedies of the past, there's a lot of really inspiring people who are remaking these connections.
Well, thank God for that, I'd say, because I'll tell you, if you started wandering around those graveyards too long and think that not only are these people who are the dead, but all of their living have been, repopulated elsewhere at various times in Europe's history, that would be a bit overwhelming. What was your sense coming out from the whole thing? Did you feel these borders are here to stay, or watch this space?
Well, what I concluded from it, and it, I've sort of felt strongly about this, is that moving borders is problematic, that there's no such thing as a perfect border, and leaving them where they are. I mean, Ireland is a bit of a special case here, but in general in Europe, moving a border is a bad idea. It involves disrupting people's lives and changing things. And it gives big powers like Russia and the United States this power to bully and worse smaller countries.
Absolutely.
And what we've created in Europe is a place where smaller countries can flourish.
Absolutely. Lewis, thank you very much for joining us. Fantastic book, and recommend it to everyone. Borderlines, A History of Europe in 29 Borders. Lewis, thanks very much indeed.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.